Little River Band. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, welcome back to Kill the Unicorns. And this series, we've been talking about attacking the unicorns that a lot of people are chasing these days. And what we're talking about are the fairy tale kind of ideas, chasing things that are not real, that are deceptive, that are illogical. And the biggest thing, they're unattainable. They're unattainable. And today what I want to do is give us a dose of reality and at the same time point us toward God, point us toward a great God, a God who can do amazing things in and through you. But you have to have the right mentality in your life. And so I'm going to ask you to sit down and take a look at yourself this morning. What you believe, the lies that you're buying into, and then I'm going to ask you to kill the unicorn. You know, unicorns are kind of these mythical, elusive, non-existent things. They're great for like Candy Crush or some video game or some Disney movie. But building your life based on a belief system of unicorns and rainbows, I think it's a dangerous thing. You know, we've been last week talked a little bit about unicorn thinking, and unicorn thinking is these kind of ideas, like I can grow really close to God, but I don't have to go to church and I don't have to read my Bible. Yeah, I can get out of debt anytime I want, easy peasy. Well, probably not. The fact is, it may take you months. It may take you years. And it is not a matter of just deciding one day. You actually have to have a plan to make that happen. And my point is that the wrong beliefs many times keep you right where you are. They keep you from what God has for you. They keep you from even starting to try and deal with whatever it is. And so what I want to do today is give us some practical ways that I believe will help you start moving forward in your life. And the first thing that we have to do is we have to kill the unicorn of comparison. And I think this is a serious issue in our culture today. The fact is, most people don't even realize that they're doing this. And we talked about this a little bit last week when I said, as long as you believe social media, you know, the highlight reels that you see, as long as you're soaking up Insta shame and fake book, the fact is comparisons are going to be an issue in your life. Because what happens is you look at all that stuff, and then pretty soon you start thinking, you know what, my life stinks. You know, my life isn't like that. You know, they have a great job. You know, they look good all the time. They get to travel. I wish I could travel like that. And so we start feeling bad. And there's this thing that when they post, it's really kind of scripted and staged. You know, like you see that picture of the perfect family and you're like, wow. What you don't know is it took them 10 minutes to get the pic, and they didn't talk for an hour after they got the pic, you know. Been there? So often what happens is people lose themselves in the posts, in the pics, in the fairy tale, and it's a unicorn. You know, people love unicorns, though. People spend enormous amounts of time trying to present their life like it's bigger, better, grander than it really is. And the fact is, it's not perfect. It's an illusion. But here's the weird thing about it. I think we all know that, right? That it's not perfect. But what we do is we soak all this stuff up, and it becomes a point of comparison for our lives. And it messes people up. You know, recently I saw Game of Thrones, the cast. They were walking the red carpet. And you're watching them with all this glamour around them and all this allure. And people watch and they go, wow, I would love that life. That would be incredible. If I could live like that, it would be great. But then I watched a documentary on the whole show and what was required from these actors. Do you know they lived in small trailers, most of them? For 6 to 8 months a year, they live in these little trailers. In another country, away from their family, away from their friends. And their average day, they spent hours and hours reading the scripts, memorizing their lines. They spent hours, in fact, a lot of hours, in the makeup chairs because of the kind of design of the show. And so they were in these makeup chairs for hours and hours. They worked in very adverse weather conditions most of the time. And they were talking about for 3 months, they got up in the middle of the night so that they could shoot night scenes. People do not realize the sacrifice and the discipline and the things that they give up. They just don't see all the hard work. What they see is the glamour. I want that. I'd love to have that. And friends, when you start comparing, you start wanting in your life. And when you start comparing to the fantasy, and you compare it to your reality, guess what? You lose. You lose. Social media feeds the fantasy. The pics, the posts. It's a tiny fraction of a moment. It's reality, but the thing is, it's like just part of the story. It's not the whole story. And it's a unicorn. One of the best things you could do for you and your family is limit your time with social media, the amount of time that you spend with it. You know why? Well, because it sucks you in. It leaves you wanting. It leaves you isolated. Because what happens is you feel like everybody's got this great life. Everybody gets to do great things. And the sad truth is people are chasing these unicorns. Even the people you're following, they're chasing unicorns. Those people that you're envying, they're chasing unicorns. They just want to give you the impression that they're living the dream. It's a unicorn. It's a unicorn. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians. He says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. Does that sound a little bit like Facebook? You know, social media today? A lot of commending of ourselves. I call it like humble bragging. Check this out. Look what I did. You know, and it's like the highlight reel. We commend ourselves to other people, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they're without understanding. They're without understanding. If you want to be frustrated in life, if you want to be isolated, if you want to feel like a lonesome loser in your life, continue to compare yourself to other people. Now, everybody get your phone out for a minute. I'm going to show you a really cool thing here. Get your phones out. Come on. Come on. I'm going to show you something you probably don't know. Now, there's a button. It may be on the side. It might be up at the top. Just hold it in for a minute. This is a cool feature. You can actually turn this thing off. What? You ought to do that occasionally. Do you know what you will find out? Your happiness quotient will actually go up. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I love technology. It is a great tool. It is a tool to be used. But I want you to remember that you own your phone. Your phone does not own you. Big difference. In fact, I would challenge some of you this week to kind of take a social media fast and unplug for 1 week. 1 week. I know some people just passed out probably. Some of you know this is an issue. It's a problem. It's creating problems in your life. And for you, I would suggest maybe you take the month off. You know, go home today and post your last post. Just go, I'm unplugging for 30 days. See you guys in 30 days. Get back in touch with God. Spend time with your spouse, with your family. Maybe call some friends and just spend some time with flesh and blood friends. You will feel better. You're in control. You got to take control. Life is way too short. Quit getting sucked into the comparison game. Kill the unicorn. Kill the unicorn. You know, right now, some of you, you wish, how many of you wish you could be more disciplined in your life? All right? See, here's what you think. This is what you think. I could achieve all my dreams if I would just get disciplined. Well, I hate to break this to you, but I've done some research on this one. You do not magically wake up one day and get disciplined in your life. I mean, every once in a while, you'll see someone and you think, wow, it just happened for them, that it just happened. You know, for instance, somebody's, you know, 350 pounds overweight, and you see them a couple years later, and they're in great physical shape. And they lost all this weight, and so you go up to them, you go, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? And they go, just decided. And you want to slap them, right? You're thinking, how do you just decide? Well, research has indicated that there is a small group, a very small sliver of people that are actually able to do that. You know why? Because they already had the internal controls. They just weren't accessing those. See, the key to success in life in any area is internal controls. The fact is, then you have to actually start putting those controls to work in your life. And I want to talk about that a little bit because it is possible for you to change. It's possible for you to succeed in your life. I saw the other day Biggest Losers being rebooted. And I don't know if you know this, but the previous winners of that show almost exclusively came from a very athletic background. You know, they played sports or something in their background. So what happened when they started trying to lose the weight, they started working out, at some point very early on, muscle memory kicked in. You know, that mental memory kicked in. And they go, oh, I know what this feels like. I remember being disciplined in my life. And so what happened, it was easier for them to kind of turn the corner, so to speak, than for those that had never worked out or had never been athletic. The fact is, it was more difficult for those individuals because they didn't have those internal structures in their life. So if you don't have discipline, and you don't have those internal structures to kind of fall back on, you got to build them. Well, how do you do that? I mean, if you could build those things in your life, you could achieve that thing that you want to achieve. And I'm thinking, wouldn't that be great? Some of you think, well, yeah, I know if I would get up earlier, I could go to the gym before work. Or, you know, if I quit wasting so much time at work, I probably, it would change the trajectory of my career. Or if I would quit spending money that I don't have, I might be able to get out of debt. And that is true. You can do those things. But again, the key is the internal structures in your life. The Hebrew writer says, our human parents disciplined us for a little while as it seemed best to them, but God does it for our benefit so that we can share his holiness. No discipline is fun while it lasts, but it seems painful at the time. Later, it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. Discipline is painful. Always is. Friends, you do not go run a marathon if you're not a runner. But no matter how bad a shape you're in, you can train your way up. And this is true in almost every area of life. You can train your way up. And so here's the second thing. You have to create the internal structures that lead to discipline in your life. You think, if I could just be disciplined, it would change everything. If I could just be disciplined, I would have those internal structures. No. That's why so many people fail in life, is they've got it backwards. We've got this stuff backwards. Internal structures give you the discipline that you need. You have to get it in the right order. I mean, what's an internal structure look like? Well, let's say a kid goes off to college and they start making A's on their own. Mom and dad aren't there to push them. They aren't there to say, get your stuff done. But this kid, just on their own, they start making A's. Well, guess what? They have internal structures in their life. I remember when I was going to college, I watched a lot of my friends flunk out of school. The only thing they were doing, they were going to school and they were goofing off a lot. I mean, a lot. And I didn't understand why they were struggling. It made no sense to me. I was working a full-time job. I was taking 20, 24 hours in college. And I was fine. But I realized at a point they had no structure in their life. They had no system to fall back on. And so what they did, they just wasted a lot of time. And here's something I've learned through the years. You can learn to manage your time. And if you learn to manage your time, guess what? You can accomplish a lot of things. You know, that thing that you're wanting, that thing that is waiting for you, if you can get a handle on your time. I want that kind of relationship. I want to be that kind of dad. I want to be that kind of mom. I want that career, that kind of career. I want that body, whatever it is. See, I mean, how do you build that kind of strength internally, those structures? Well, you do it through scaffolding, so to speak. You know, before a building stands on its own, it has scaffolding. I know the workers get on it and work, but it's also there many times to get lend support. You know, the building, eventually they can remove the scaffolding. It can stand on its own. Wasn't always that way, though. It took time. It took a lot of people working on it. It took hard work, took a process, a method, a system. You need scaffolding in your life. Over and over and over again in Scripture, it talks about obeying God's commands. You know, the book of Deuteronomy talks about that we're to write those commands. We're to write them on the gates. We're to write them on the doors. We're to wear them on our hands. They were to tie them on their forehead. It says, and those words that I command you today shall be on your heart. See, that's where we were going with this. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And I just want to take a little sidebar and say something to parents. That's why you build faith in your kids. It's why you build the faith and God's word into your kids, because it's scaffolding for their life. Parents, see, if you want your kids to grow up and be God-honoring, you got to build the Word of God into their life. You got to put it all around them so that as they're growing up, they encounter it. They see it. At some point, it becomes a part of their internal structure. You cannot do that on the fly. You know, you can't do that coming to church once in a blue moon. It requires intentionality. so that they'll become disciplined in their life. And the fact is, it's how it works in all of our lives. Becoming disciplined means you got to build stuff into your life. You got to build the external scaffolding around you until you, whatever it is you're trying to do, it becomes a habit in your life. It becomes an internal structure. It's how it works. You know, how many of you have made big promise to God before? You know, you leave after a service, you're like, man, I'm gonna do this. And then, about the end of the week, you still got the promise, but absolutely no work. You need scaffolding. You need an action plan. You need to set goals. You need to post them somewhere so that you see them every morning, maybe on the mirror. You know, put a reminder on your phone. You know, I'm going to do such and such. You know, I'm going to stay within my budget. I'm not going to spend money I don't have. I'm going to get the paper done by Friday. The fact is, if you struggle with follow through, and most people do, then that's when you go to a friend and you go, you know what, would you hold me accountable? I'm going to do such and such this week. And if I haven't done it, next week I want you to catch me and go, did you do it or not? See, accountability, it's an external scaffolding in your life. It's how you build a strong building. You need people around you to help you in that, who will support you. It really is a game changer. You know, what is it that you really want to change? What is it that you really want to accomplish? The fact is, for some of you, you might be one or two conversations away from being successful at it. I need you to help me with this. I need your advice in this area. I want you to hold me accountable for this. You need to do it in your life. If you're going to go further, if you're going to do whatever it is that God's led you to do, the fact is, sometimes you just have to sit down and really take a look at yourself. And then you got to take a step in the right direction in your life. You know, John Grisham, he was a very successful lawyer before he was an author. But his dream was to be an author. But he was so busy as a lawyer, he did not have time to write. And he talks about that he tried all kinds of things and he had no movement in this area of his life. And so he finally decided that he would set his alarm for 5 a.m. And his goal every morning was to get up and write at least one page before he headed to work. That's how he wrote A Time to Kill. It's how he wrote his second book, The Firm. And then he just started writing book after book after book, and you know, most of them have been turned into movies. He became extremely successful. Well, how? By getting up at 5 a.m. and writing one page. That's how he did it. It's that simple. It's simple, but it's really hard. Really hard. You know, it meant he had to get in bed early so he could actually get up early. He had to rearrange his schedule. He had to get his family on board. You know, that this is the plan. You guys okay with that? And I'm sure he had to say no to a lot of engagements. And get this, he had to actually get up and do it. He had to get up and write a page whether he felt like it or not. Was it worth it? I'd say so. I mean, he sold more than 300 million books. But here's the truth. It is incredible what you can do if you're willing to put the work in. Internal structures will lead to discipline in your life. The Hebrew writer, he says, you have become weak, so make yourself strong again. Keep on the right path. Some of your versions say straight path. So the weak will not stumble, but rather be strengthened. I mean, what's that verse saying? God's saying, you know, I know you're tired. I know you're worn out. But get on the right path and then keep going. You notice it doesn't say, oh, you're tired. Take a break. Sleep in. Relax. No. It says, oh, you're tired. Get on the right path. You know what that tells me? This is number three. Choose to do the hard thing. Choose to do the hard thing. In fact, I thought about entitling this series, Choose to Do the Hard Thing. But I thought nobody's going to show up. The truth is, we don't want to hear that. We want easy. We want convenient. We want cheap. And I will tell you, there is never a sale on greatness in life. Great things in life come at a very high cost. And it must be paid in full. Hear this. It has to be paid in full before you get the reward. That's how it works. But we love to hug unicorns, don't we? You know how we do that? We want the great thing, but, well, I'll do it later. I want a 4.0 in school. I know that the paper's due in 4 weeks, but I'll start a couple days beforehand. And here's the reality. As soon as you put it off, you kiss the 4.0 goodbye. Anytime you put stuff off, you put off the hard thing that you know you're supposed to do, you are kissing your future goodbye. The sooner you start doing the next hard thing that God puts in front of you, the sooner you get what you want in life. If I was just disciplined, I would do the hard thing. No, that's not how it works. You do the hard thing and you become disciplined over time. You get the order straight and you start seeing your future open up. You get discipline by doing the hard things. Can your life be great? Well, you bet it can. You know, I always tell people, maintain high expectations in life. But make sure that your work and your effort and your focus match the expectation. You want to do great things. That's great. Then get up and do the great things and do the hard things. Do them daily, regularly. Why? So you receive the ultimate reward. But you will not get there. That thing that you, oh man, if I just had, if I could just, if, you will not get there thinking about it, dreaming about it, talking about it, dare I say, even praying about it? I mean, you need to pray, but I will tell you, great results come with doing. You know, Moses, he was leading the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and they had just gotten into the wilderness. And you remember, they're standing before the sea, and the Egyptian army's coming up behind them. They're going to take them. They're trapped, basically. God had promised that he would deliver them. He promised he would deal with the Egyptians. He parted the sea, and the Israelites are stalled. They're just stalled, paralyzed. And I love the scripture. It says this. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to what? Get moving. See, I believe you can even pray about something and it really is kind of a spiritual stall. Because you know what it is that God wants you to do. Some of you, that's what you're thinking about right now. You want a great marriage? It's going to require hard work. Vulnerability. You have to learn to say, I'm sorry. You know, the fact is, you're going to have to learn to be truthful because it's not always easy to be truthful. It's easy to do the convenient thing, and that's cover up in life. You got to do the hard things if you want a great marriage. You want a great career, a great family, a great walk with God? Do the hard things. Do the hard things. In so many areas of our lives, we do not want to put in the work. And we wonder why we're not getting the results we want. Quit hugging the unicorn. It is a myth. It is mythical. It's not real. The truth is, the thing that you want, that thing that God wants for you in your life, the truth is, it's going to require effort. It's going to require energy and sacrifice and time. It requires you doing the hard, hard thing. And friends, this is not just a generational thing. We all need to hear this. Because I know some of you are going, man, I hope the millennials are listening up. You know, I hope Gen X is, and the Gen Zs are listening to this. And it's really easy to kind of point the finger. And I've thought about this quite a bit lately. Friends, they are doing what we taught them to do. And if we want a better generation, then we need to lead them. And we need to commit to doing the hard things and show them how to do the hard things. I mean, we need to respect the future as well. You know, Paul writes in Ephesians, the second chapter, he says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You know, there's a popular saying these days, YOLO, you know, Y-O-L-O. You only live once. And it is a very dangerous phrase, the way it's being used. It's being used as an excuse to do whatever you want, regardless of the future. You don't worry about it. Who cares about the future? And so what happens is people use their bodies in ways that they shouldn't. Why? Well, because tomorrow doesn't really matter. There's no real thought about I might be married someday, and what am I going to tell my spouse? You know, people spend money they don't have without respect to the future. Oh, tomorrow will take care of itself. And so one day they're going to end up broke. They're going to be relying on the government, who is also going broke, by the way. It's a dangerous trend. And so what's happening is YOLO has become an excuse to be irresponsible. I do what I want. I do what I want with my time. I do what I want with my mind, with my body. It's my life, I'll do what I want. Everything I have, I'll do what I want. And friends, I will tell you that goes against everything that's taught in Scripture. And it's destroying people's lives. You know, they're right. We only live once. But because we only live once, we should be disciplined. We should have a plan for how we're living it so that we don't waste this one and only life. And I know some of you are going, whoa, you mean I got to work all the time? No, that's not what I'm saying. The answer's not working all the time and burning out. But here's the truth, my observation. Most people are not burning out because they're working too hard. Most people are struggling in life because they're playing around too much. And so when they finally kind of wake up and go, whoa, I need to be doing something, I need to do the hard work, guess what? They're kind of late to the game. And so they get to that area of their life and it is such a mess, life becomes a struggle. See, we got it backwards. Work first, reward later. Work first, reward later. Say that with me. Work first, reward later. Rest and reward are important. But the rest comes after the work. The video games come after the homework and the chores. We do have chores, parents, right? What are we teaching them? The TV shows come after a hard day's work. The shows don't start when you wake up in the morning. You may never get to work. Work, then reward, And I think we've lost sight of the fact that work is a gift from God. And if you don't work in your life and work hard, what happens is your body, your mind, in fact, your life will atrophy. So here's where I want to kind of pull this together. Think about your life. And this is where you are right now. And this is where you want to be in your life. I will tell you, you will not get from here to there. It doesn't just happen. Kill the unicorn. Start working. You want to be successful in whatever area of your life, and you want to get from here to there, you know, financially, spiritually, relationally, physically, vocationally. You want to get from here to there, you got to work. Now, this is between you and God, but I will tell you, get moving. Start working. And you will not make it in one gigantic step. It will take you time to get from there to there. But you get there by setting a plan and going, you know what? Today I'm going to do whatever. And you start doing it. You start moving in the right direction in your life. And guess what? Tomorrow, you get up, you do the same thing. And you keep moving in the same direction, being faithful, doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over until it becomes a habit in your life. And then those internal structures that you're building, they lead to discipline, and they get you from there to here. They get you from where you are to where you want to be, where God wants you to be. And just a little heads up so that there's no, you don't go, oh, you set me up. When you first start, prepare for a mess. You will be in a mess and you will be dealing with a mess, but you got to have a plan to get from here to there. And you, guess what? You got to do the hard work. And over time, if you keep at it and keep pursuing and keep being faithful and you let that build in your life, guess what? You'll reap the rewards of actually getting here someday. It's that simple. Let's bow in a word of prayer today. Our holy God, God, we praise you. And God, I know you've put dreams in our hearts, all of our hearts. And I'm sure there's areas that all of us right now are thinking about that, God, I want that different. I want to change. I want that, whatever it is. And God, I pray that you would instill in each individual the courage and the strength to do the hard thing. The next hard thing, Lord, whatever that is. God, we look forward to the day we can celebrate, rejoice, and go, I made it. I did it. God, I pray that we would honor you with all we say and do. God, we give you the glory, the praise, this day and every day. And God's people said, let's worship together and prepare for communion this morning.